You know where your sins are tonight?
Yeah.
Under the blood. Amen. Amen. Don't deserve it. They're under the blood. Thank God for it. I never thought I'd be a preacher when I was growing up. Really, I've heard a lot of people say, I knew it when I was this high. I never did. And sometimes I think about the Lord saving me, washing all my sins away. And now I thought, well, what am I doing down here in this place preaching? I listen to these other guys preach. Brother Grace, they named him right, you know it. And the things he's been giving us, and of course Brother Green, I think, Lord, what am I doing down here with these guys? And it scares me. And I told him at church, the only thing I can figure out, they get two Yankees in here that, you know, that are real smart and know a lot of stuff, and then they get one hick to laugh at. And I know I'm a fool, but I'm a fool for Christ. And I wouldn't trade places with nobody. And if these guys learn how to talk, they'd no telling what they could do for God. Really, if I got up in our church Sunday morning and talked like they talk, people would laugh at me. They'd say, what has happened to our preacher? But I appreciate him and love him. I've enjoyed both messages this morning. Spoke to my heart. I don't know if you've been getting anything, but I sure have. It's been real good to my heart. And isn't it something how that we can be all tore up and everybody's got their own problems. And I know a lot of you people today felt like you was in bad shape. And you were crying and maybe worried about something or tore up or your feelings hurt or something. And then let's get together like this and the Lord just bless the fire out of us. That shows it's real, you know it? It's real. Let me give you a little article here right quick before we turn to Scripture. I'm going to give you some names of some movies you'll never see on TV. Movies you'll never see on television or at the movies. The first one's, the name of it's The Cool of the Day. It's about a coarse, overweight Southern sheriff who arrests a likable minority group leader for a murder. The criminal is represented by an idealistic liberal woman lawyer who charges that her client is a victim of discrimination. A spectacular, suspenseful trial follows, which proves the guilt of the accused. The sheriff is elected attorney general, and the lady lawyer declares she will henceforth lobby for capital punishment. You'll never see that on TV. The next one's Amazing Grace, the name of the movie. It's about the head of an evangelical TV ministry is suspected of misusing church funds. The investigation shows that he has excellent character, sober, faithful to his wife, and so on. It turns out the money was actually embezzled from the church's funds by the certified public accountant who is a secular humanist. You'll never see that on television. They don't believe in that. That's not their religion. That's not their doctrine. The next one is Confessions of a Demonstrator. The leader of an anti-war organization is approached by the CIA with evidence that his group is being manipulated by communists to undercut Western security. The jury determines the veracity of the claims. Disillusioned, he breaks all ties with the former associates and announces at a press conference that he will devote himself to campaigning for the defense of the country and contra aid. The next one's a late fall. A young homosexual contracts AIDS. Instead of griping about homophobia, he reexamines his existence and comes to the conclusions that his lifestyle was self-destructive. He becomes a born-again Christian and spends the rest of his life warning others to stay away from the sins of his former life. And that just shows you what kind of generation we're living in. There's a religion being preached across America today, and that religion is called secular humanism. And the only reason they don't go ahead and declare themselves religion and become tax-exempt is because they get state funds by the millions to teach their doctrine in their churches called public schools. And we're in a mess, folks. We are in a mess. And if God don't do something with us and for us and through us, there's not much hope for many, many thousands of people here in this old world. I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight from the book of Luke, chapter number 19. If you'll turn there with me, we'll look at some scripture, and we'll hurry so we can hear Brother Green in Luke chapter number 16. This message has been on my heart for several days, and I'm always nervous of preaching here. I think this is a great place. I praise God for it. It's an unusual place. I appreciate Brother McGahee. They come up in the fall and preach at our church. Done a wonderful job. We think Dr. Ruckman, as I've said before, is the greatest Bible teacher on the face of this earth. And I don't just say that when I'm here. I believe you ought to be thankful for what God's given you here. And don't take it for granted. And you better get in here and soak it up. Because it ain't like this everywhere. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. I'm sorry, I told you 12. Look at 19, verse 12. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I want you to think about that little phrase our Lord used, and I'm not going to use this scripture in its proper doctrinal setting tonight. I'm going to take that verse of scripture out and use a thought for it. Well, the Lord looked at these 10 fellas and he said, now you fellas, I'm going away and I'll be back one of these days. Now I'm going to give you these 10 pounds. Now you take care of this till I get back. And the Lord went off and just about let them do what they wanted to with that 10 pounds. If they wanted to bury it, they could bury it. If they wanted to give it somebody, they could give it somebody. If they wanted to put it in the bank, they could put it in the bank. He said, whatever you want to do with it, you can go ahead and do it. I thought about that and I thought, well, that's a lot like the Lord has done to us. He said, I've come, I sent the Holy Spirit to be with you, and I'm coming back one of these days. Y'all occupy till I come back. That puts a whole lot of importance on what me and you do with what God's given us. I'm preaching to you on a question tonight, and the question is, what kind of church do you want? Now, I believe you can have whatever kind of church you want to have. You know why these boys shouting and praising the Lord and running the aisles? Because that's what kind of church you people want. Which is a good choice, in my opinion. And I believe tonight that God, if you want a good church, you can have one. And if you want sorry, that's what you'll have. You know why the big churches downtown are dead? That's what they want. Now, everybody in there might not want it, but most of them do. Because if you want God, you can have Him. And if you don't, you won't have God. The Lord don't flip through His files and pull out one at random and say, why, there's old Bible Baptist down in Florida. I believe I'll bless them. No, the Lord looking down here and He says, all right, who wants me? And if you pay the price, and if you live right, and you want the Lord more than you want other things, you can have Him. If you want other things more than you want the Lord, you don't have the Lord, you got other things. And the key thought of the message is, what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? If every member is just like some, there wouldn't be no Wednesday night prayer meeting because nobody would be here. If every member were just like some, there wouldn't be many missionaries supported because they don't give nothing to the missionaries. Now let's see if you can say this. You say it with me this time. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? How many of you people in here belong either to this church or to some church? Raise your hand. That's about everybody in here. You're a church member. You belong to a church. And you know what I mean, a local body. Now you say that with me. You ready? One, two, three. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like... What in the world is wrong with you? Can't you remember one question with about 15 words in it? All right. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? There's something bad wrong with the young people. Bad. You're looking at me grinning. I want you to say this. We'll have something for you tomorrow night. Don't worry. Listen. Here we go. I'm going to watch way back there and see if your mouth moves. One, two, three. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? Now, when you say that, you probably think, Lord, it'd be awful. And you may be right. And my desire is tonight to say this. The church is no better than the individual people that make it up. You ain't going to have a bunch of hellions out here in the community and then come together and be a bunch of saints ready to sprout wings and fly away. And you think, well, I feel my wings sprouting. You better check again. That might be horns. And did you know that our churches tonight are no more spiritual than the individuals who make them up? You ain't going to go out there and live like a devil all day long and then come in here and be shouting and full of the Spirit of God and all that. It don't work that way. When people shout and rejoice and worship the Lord, that is an outflow of a holy life that they've been living for days and weeks and months and sometimes years. It's not just a spur-of-the-moment thing, and if it is, it's no good anyway. What kind of church would this be if every member was just like you? When we think about preparing ourselves to come to church. You know, a lot of times our services would be a lot better if everybody prepared before they got in here like they're the one going to be preaching. Son, I tell you, brother, we'd have some services if everybody, I mean, I've seen people, boy, they just yell, yeah, we'll goof off for 5 to 6, and then we'll run down there and try to get our mind on the Lord. And usually about the time you go home, everybody's just getting ready to have service. Have you ever wondered why the Sunday night service is better than the Sunday morning service? I've heard people say, boy, Sunday morning's rough. You preachers know what I mean? It's rough, man, on Sunday morning. Sunday nights you come back. You know why that is, don't you? It takes the entire Sunday morning service to get the devil out of everybody. And by the time you leave on Sunday morning, you're ready to come back Sunday night and worship God. And that's the way it goes. Usually we start getting right and then we leave and then full of devil time we come back tomorrow night and then we have to get out of again. We hardly ever really get loose. Well, I'm telling you tonight, friend, if everybody would prepare their heart, let's take the imaginary camera and look into the average godly, spirit-filled Christian home just on Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, it's awful. I mean, boy, when that alarm clock goes off, you may have it set for 7:30. Have you ever noticed it's easier to get up at 5:30 on Monday than 7:30 on Sunday? Isn't that wild? And no matter what time you went to bed, it's hard to get up on Sunday morning. And you punch her and says, honey, let's get up. It's time to go to church. Oh. And she says, let's get ready. Let's get the young'uns out of bed. So one at a time you start saying, get up, honey. Get up, honey. Punch, get up, honey. And the kids, lo and behold, don't want to get out of bed. That's a phenomenon, brother. You want to sleep late on Saturday and get you some rest, them kids will be up at 6 o'clock. Wanting to watch cartoons. Wanting to go to Granny's. Wanting to play ball. Wanting to go outside. But on Sunday morning, you can't get the sorry things out of bed. And the devil gets in them. And it just gets worse and more. And then you finally get them up, and you're trying to get them ready, and you're trying. And then your wife finds out she ain't got no hose. Oh, Lord, no hose. And she pulls out 15 pairs of them, holds them up. And they, but about that, I don't see how them little bitty things can. And, brother, she holds them things up, and she said, there's one that's got a run in it. And over here, this, and I said, why don't you buy you some during the week? Well, I thought I had 3 new pair, and these all got holes in them, and that one's run, and then they're running through the house. And about that time, Mama! And Susie turned her chocolate milk over on her, you know, and she done got on her dress, and she's just starting getting ready to go. And then you say, oh, that's a nice, clean dress you had. Why'd I even get up? I spend all the time in the nursery anyway. And I said, well, you know what the preacher said? Come to Sunday school. I'm about tired of his mouth anyway. Who's he think he is trying to tell us what to do and how to live our life? And we're preparing our hearts to worship God. And everybody finally gets ready and you go out the door and the husband's out there because he'd been rebuked for 3 straight Sundays. He ain't, been there on time and he's out blowing the horn, you know, with the door, bing, bing. And she comes out of the house and runs across the rose bush and cuts her leg on it. Blood starts running out of it and he's got the car in reverse, man. She's trying to get in there and dragging her leg down the driveway and on the way to church they fuss and argue and fight and, well, shut up! Why never marry you? Man, I've seen them going down the road, reaching back in the back seat, hitting the young'un like that. Some of them little old kids been hit more than Joe Louis and on their way to church. And boy, they think, boy, I cannot wait till I get big and get out of this church. Sure is a problem. He parks a car out in the parking lot. And here we come in the door. Hallelujah. Hey, preacher, God bless you, brother. Well, it's a blessing to be here, ain't it? And your wife knows you cussed her on the way to church. You let one of them old words slip you ain't said in a long time. And then we sing, brethren, we have met to worship. What kind of church you want? Anyhow, I ain't got time to get to a lot of things tonight, but you know what goes on. I'm telling you, you need to prepare your heart. Get up on Sunday morning, find your prayer closet somewhere. You say, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, but you are a listener. And you say, Lord, clean my heart out. Most of you stayed up and watched dirty movies on Saturday night, and your heart's in no position to receive the Word of God. By the way, let me pull over and say something right quick, can I? Well, I'm going to anyway, whether I can or not. I've noticed a big change in churches in America in the past 5 years. Big change. I ain't what you'd say really been in the ministry long some of these guys. I've been preaching nearly 15 years. And I've noticed in the past 3 to 5 years that most churches have just dropped, brother. The spirit's dying. The shouts are laying low. And you know what? I know what the problem is. They're watching dirty movies. You can't be a spiritual Christian and watch dirty movies. I said, you can't be a spiritual Christian and watch dirty movies. You say, what's a dirty movie? It's a movie where people take their clothes off and crawl in bed and drink liquor and cuss and talk filthy. You can't be a spiritual person and watch a bunch of hell like that. You say, well, you ain't going to get very far preaching like that. I'm just going to heaven. That's as far as I want to go. Amen. I'm telling you right now, brother, there's God's people all over this country. Oh, you wouldn't dare let them see you drive into the drive-in, would you? Somebody might see you. But you go down to the local video store. And you say, I bought me a VCR so I can watch Dr. Ruckman. Now that's good. That's good if that's what you do. But oh boy, you'll sneak down there and you say, well, this one's rated PG. Well, that means you got pig guts in that one. And you say, well, this one's rated, you know, on and on and on. Hey man, there's movies rated PG right now. I saw a little part 7. Lord help, brother. It's down right. PG, your foot, son. Why, years ago that stuff would have been declared pornography. You say, well, old grandpa and grandpa used to like Roy. Yeah, and the worst thing Roy Rogers done was kiss his horse. You ain't gonna be a spiritual Christian like that. What kind of church do you want? Well, there's a lot I could say. My mind wants to go a bunch of different directions, but I'm going to tell you some things. In attendance. I believe if you're a member of a church, you ought to be at your own church. I believe you ought to be faithful. You ought to be on time. You ought not to lay out of Sunday school. And you sure ought not to leave after Sunday school. When you're tired, your church is the place for rest. When you feel good, it's a place to rejoice. When you're lonely, it's a place to find friends. When you're in doubt, it's a place to find the answer. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people sure must love their church. Because they sure ain't been in a long time. Well, let me say a few things this evening. Some of the other preachers already mentioned, I mean, so I'll not take time. After we come, after we're here, then we take up the offering. If every member give just like me, what kind of church would my church be? I told about that one fella. They said, we're taking up an offering for the heathen. And they passed Elvin Blake around, and he wouldn't give nothing. And he just looked at him and said, I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in such stuff as that. Let somebody else help him and all that stuff. And they handed him the offering plate and said, well, here, take some out. It's for the heathen. And that's the way we ought to do about half our church members, brother. When we take up offering for the heathen, they need some. But you know, I ain't got time to spend on that. Let me move on. In witnessing. If everybody witnessed just like you witnessed, what kind of church would this be? Boy, I tell you one thing, every church, every county, every town needs one church that absolutely just tracks sinners down, knocks on doors, gets in there and tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be popular, but they'll know you're here, and they'll know there's a God in heaven that loves them, and you need that kind of a church. If everybody witnessed just like me, what kind of church would my church be? If everybody gave just like me, what kind of church would I have? Now let me say a few things about the kind of church you don't want. This is the kind you don't want. First of all, you don't want a dead church. You don't want a dead church. If there's anything in this world we don't need any more of, it's dead, cold, backslid, wicked churches. And there's only one thing worse than a cold, dead, liberal church, and that's a cold, dead, fundamental church. And brother, there are some in this world, and they can be straight as a gun barrel doctrinally, and as empty as one spiritually. And they don't have enough power to blow a spiritual booger out of their nose and come together and don't have any blessing, no Holy Ghost conviction, no conviction on sinners. Lord, we don't need no more dead churches in our generation. Boy, I tell you one thing, there's a difference between a funeral home and a delivery room. You go into the average church nowadays, and what you got is a funeral home atmosphere. You ever been to a funeral home? You like it? You know a lot of young people won't even go to funerals? Did you hear what I just said? Did you know you can't get young people hardly to go to funerals? You know why? I have people come to me all the time. We can't get our young people to come. They don't like funeral homes. You know one of the greatest signs of this church being a good church? These young people sitting on the front row. That's a sign, brother. You know how a funeral home is? You walk in, everybody's sitting completely straight like this. You dare not smile. They be irreverent. People don't laugh and cut up the funeral home. You ever, man, if they do, people look at them like, well, them. You look out, you look straight ahead, and you got this old spooky organ music playing in the background. Like Dracula's coming out. And buddy, nobody likes that. I don't. But that's the same atmosphere I've felt in some churches. You walk in, everybody just sitting there just solemn, not a smile on nobody's face, and that same old organ music playing in the background. And buddy, it's scary. And young people say, I don't feel good in here. Now, let's take a church. It's like a delivery room. Look at a delivery room. Inside here, you've got the mother-to-be. And son, she is in travail. And she's a sweating and a jerking around. I don't want it. And the doctor said, it's too late now, honey. You're going to have it whether you want it or not. And buddy, she's a moaning and groaning. And brother, she is labor. She ain't asleep. I mean, she is in there working. Outside's the daddy. He's walking back and forth. And just waiting any minute on the news. He's a going back, pacing the floor. About that time, boy, something happens on the inside. And the next thing you know, wah! And new life is born into the world. And they come out and say, you're a brand new daddy. And boy, they jump up and down, and they give cigars, and they give this, or you give tracts if you're a Christian. You give this, and you give that, you give the other, everybody has a big time. You call mom, and you call daddy, and you call aunt, you call uncle, and you call everybody. That's the way a church ought to be. Brother, up there in them prayer rooms are laying and travailing and saying, oh God, would you come on the scene? Oh God, would you move? And we begin to travail and beg God. And we're walking the floors and praying. And about that time we sing Just As I Am. Some old boy comes down that aisle, hits on his knees on the altar. There's a newborn life born into the family of God. That's the way it ought to be. You don't want a dead church. I'll say this.
I believe you. I mean, I believe, brother, God's people ought to kick the windows out. If there's anything I can't stand, it's these people that call us fanatics and overboard because we get emotional at church. One lady said, "Why can't you be still?" The same reason a guy can't be still running a touchdown. I'm playing for my team, bless your heart. God's given me the ball tonight, and I'm running for the goal line. I'm saying, "God, help me to make a score for the Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, brother, I tell you, we need some life in our churches. We need some power that's there. And if we lose that, we're out of business. We don't need no dead churches. No, sir. That's the life. I went to talk to this lady one time. We was witnessing to her. She said, "I want to ask you one thing. Do you yell when you preach?" I said, "Oh, Lord, we lost her." I said, "Yep. Sure do." She said, "I can't stand it." She said, "I can't stand the screaming. Just unnerves me to death." We talked for a minute or two, and I said, "Ma'am, you go to ball games?" And she said, "Why, yes." I said, "Do they yell and scream?" It ain't the yelling and screaming that bothers people. It's what you're yelling and screaming, brother. That's what gets under people's skin. That's why they want us to shut up. That's why they want us to lower our voices. Because when a man gets in the pulpit and thunders out against their sin, he begins to get awful nervous if he ain't living right. Mm-hmm. You seen them stupid game shows? You know, all right, we got this guy up here and he comes out and he says, "All right there, Jesus, come on down. You are the next contestant." And she shouts the roof off a house. And everybody joins in and shouts with her. You've seen them do it, ain't you? Amen. Yeah, you have. You have. You people don't believe in it. You see them shout. And they jump up about right here and go, You don't think there's a thing wrong with that, do you? She ain't even won nothing yet. They just called her name. Mm-hmm. I know your kind. I know what kind of hypocrite you are. You tell me tonight I'm standing here, an old country boy that don't deserve nothing but hell, and I ain't going to have to go. I ain't going to burn. I ain't going to burn. I ain't gonna burn! Hallelujah! I ain't gonna burn! I ain't a going to hell! I ain't a going to hell! I ain't a going to hell! Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ! Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, brother, I'm gonna walk on gold streets. I'm gonna get more on a trip to the Bahamas, son. We're going to walk on Glory Boulevard forever and ever and ever. Hey, brother, anybody in the world's got a reason to shout? It's me and you that's saying. You say, "Oh, you're just trying to get people stirred up." Well, I reckon it's about time we're stirred up. They sure ain't nothing wrong with it. I worry about somebody that don't like it. You say, "Well, they don't do this where I go to church." Don't blame me, you go to the wrong church. If you live in Pensacola, you know good and well where you ought to go to church. Yeah, don't you act like you don't know. The Holy Ghost done told you and you won't listen. But you know something? Just noise by itself don't mean a whole lot. They'll have shouting down to rock concerts. It bothers me that a lot of people, the preacher hit the nail on the head this morning. One of them, he said, what we do is we come and rejoice about the Lord, and we have big time. And then everybody goes around saying, "Boy, we had a time. Praise God, we run the aisles. So-and-so got their brains knocked out. Somebody else, got a concussion on one of the pews. Oh, boy, it was glorious. It was wonderful. Oh, hallelujah." And the first thing you know, we start worshiping the good time. And then we get to thinking, if we don't knock two or three windows out and bust, tear up the carpet, we ain't had a service. And it has degenerated in our day and time to just outward shouting or just amen because I'm supposed to amen. And we've kind of lost the life in the thing. Just shouting by itself without some deep, something coming out way down here ain't going to profit much anyway. I've seen, I know some churches where all, you can just walk in and say, good to be here. Oh, glory to God. You might have been going to say, praise the devil for all they know. They worship a good time. I heard a preacher on the radio the other day, and it was awful. You wouldn't believe it. And he was a ranting and a raving. He was saying this, and it was like this, you know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Somebody's outside, and you're sick. Praise God. I said, well, you're praising God for somebody being sick. Have you noticed how we've just degenerated into words in this century? You know, the preachers find it everywhere you go. We have these cliches that we use, and there's no feeling in them. There's no meaning in them. And you can get up preachers and say, boy, there's a bunch of people out there going to hell. And somebody will say, glory to God. What are you saying glory to God for? People going to hell. We go through the motion. Lord, it's awful. We go through the motion. And say a bunch of, I heard one guy come up to me one time and he said, Brother Danny, I wasn't thinking while I was praying. And he said, I was praying for you. And he said, Lord bless Brother Danny. Praise His holy name. Well, you ain't doing much praying talking like that. That's right, man. We don't need no dead churches. We don't need that kind of a church. Boy, we need some that's got some real life in them. I mean, not the kind we're saved. And boy, that's kind of before I got saved, we was all out drunk. Somebody on the front row hollered, praise God! No, we don't need that. You need to listen and praise God for what you really ought to praise God for. We don't need a dead church. But then there's one of the other preachers. I'll mention this briefly. We don't need an unfriendly church. Did you know the average lost person that comes to your church don't judge you by your singing? They don't judge you by the preaching? They don't judge you by which version of the Bible you use? Their first impression is made by if people's friendly to them or not. Now, it ought not to be that way, but it is. I've witnessed a bunch of people. They say, oh, I love to go down here. And they teach a bunch of false doctrine and everything, you know. I just love it because that's just the friendliest little church. And I believe when you see a new person come in, a visitor, like we'll have here tomorrow night, that you people shouldn't just, I mean, oh, y'all shouldn't get over here with your friends and say, glory to God, glory to God. Look at them old hippies over there. I know how that made me feel when my hair was down to here. And I come to church that night and had an old flag sewed on the bottom of my britches. And I had a motorcycle, and brother, if I went to church, and all the sanctimonious, sanctified saints would have got off in the corner and pointed at me, I wouldn't have wanted to go back. We don't need an unfriendly church. You know why the charismatics are growing so fast? Brother, you come in there and they say, glory to God, hallelujah, it's good to see you, praise the Lord, woo, hallelujah. See, that boy getting into it there, wasn't it? You know why our Baptist churches ain't doing much good nowadays? Somebody will come in and we'll go, did you see how short her dress is? Look at that stinking hippie hair. I'm trying to talk like y'all. We don't need any unfriendly churches. Let me move on. Brother, did you know you can't tell people... People so stubborn nowadays, you can't tell them nothing. We don't need them kind of churches. We don't need these churches where you're a know-it-all. Nobody knows nothing but you. And nobody can't talk to you. And you got it all figured out. About this one guy, he really had a problem. He was going around, and for years, he claimed that he was dead. And he went around telling everybody, I'm dead, been dead for years. And finally somebody said, man, you need to see a psychiatrist. And they took him and got him an appointment with a psychiatrist. And this psychiatrist is going to come in and analyze him and diagnose him and get him all fixed up and get his mind straightened out. He said, so you're dead, huh? Guy said, yes, sir, been dead for years. And the psychiatrist thought, well, I get him. He said, let me ask something, sir. Do dead people bleed? He said, no, they don't. So he pulled out a pen and stuck his finger real hard. And blood just squirted out. And he grabbed it and looked at it. And the psychiatrist shaking his head. Yeah. And he looked at it and he said, hell, I'll be. Dead people do bleed. That reminds me of some Christians I know. Son, you might as well talk that piano, brother. You can't tell them nothing. Yeah, deaf, blind as a bat. They won't listen. If you ever get to where nobody can't tell you nothing, you're in bad shape. We're all in God's school, but there's no graduates walking around down here on this earth. Reminds me of that one fellow's up there. He couldn't see, and he couldn't see what everybody else seeing and everything. This one man went to that church, had these great, great big old fella, and he wore a size 22 shoe. Like that, brother. And one night that big guy went to the altar and he kneeled down like this and he's praying. That old guy, real spiritual, come up, got down behind him, put his hands on that man's two shoes, said, "Lord, bless these two little fellas." You can't tell them nothing, brother. You can't tell them nothing. Boy, we preachers in the pulpit, church members in the pews. You know what they're saying about us now? They say Gary Hart ought to be ashamed of himself, running for the presidency after committing adultery and this and that. And they said he ought to be ashamed of himself. He ought to get back into TV evangelism where he belongs. That's a bad slam on us, ain't it? Let me say next, you don't want a gossiping church. Liquor stores here in Pensacola ain't going to hurt this church. The pimps down yonder in the queer bars are not going to hurt this church. I won't tell you who can hurt this church. You folks sitting right here in these seats. By yak, running that mouth. And brother, when people start running their mouth, you can look out, son. I mean, when the women in the church start yakking, all hell is about to break loose. Now, you ladies may not like that, but it's the truth anyway. Yeah, I've heard some things that, well, I guess you're mad because you can't be a preacher. God ain't never called a woman to preach, but they all do. Somebody got a little sour look on your face. You must eat lemons on your way to church. Chased it down with prune juice. Boy, you ain't going to get nowhere with God running that tongue, flapping them jaws. We don't need a gossiping church. I heard a woman say one time, I just don't see why. Listen, there's some things men can do that women can't do. That don't mean we're better than you are. That don't mean it ain't. That don't mean that we're any smarter than you are. That don't mean you're any dumber than we are. That just means there's some things men can do that women can't do. There's some things women can do that men can't do. We're not prejudiced, no hard feelings, no discrimination. That's just the way it is. A lady said, well, why can't we preach? Same reason we can't have babies, stupid. We're not made that way, and you ain't made to preach. Anything that looks silly to me, it's a woman in high heels with a pocket back going, well, I'll tell you one thing, I bless God, you better save her. Wouldn't you hate to be a man sitting in that congregation? Bless her, Lord, bless our pastor today. Wouldn't you feel like a fool? Buddy, I tell you, our churches have been ruined by these flap-jawed, long-tongued ladies, brother. And I don't have anything personal against you, but I'm not saying men don't gossip. As the brother said, they're getting more and more effeminate all the time, and they're starting to gossip just as much, hang around barber shops and quote prayer meetings, oh Lord. And boy, I've seen prayer meetings where it's about 2 hours of gossip and 5 minutes of praying, and the 2 hours of gossip ruled out the 5 minutes of praying. God wasn't in a million miles of it, and all they talked about was saying, brethren, I got a heavy burden for so and so, and I don't know if you've heard. And they always say this, I don't mean to be gossiping, but there's the way you know a gossip. They always preface their remarks by saying, I don't mean to be critical, but, and here it comes, man, here it comes. Do you know why you can go to another church and get a blessing and can't get nothing at your own church? I know people all over this country, and when I go, they say, oh, I just love to come down to your church. We just have such a great time. You know why they do? They don't know the people. You know why you can't get a blessing in your church? Because you know everybody's faults, and you know everywhere there's, you know, so-and-so don't pay their bills, and so-and-so run them out, and you know everybody's wrong. You've done found out everything about everybody, and you ain't got no confidence in nobody no more, and you can't get a blessing. Example. Brother Bill, let's say. I don't know if you got any Brother Bill. That's just a name popped in my head. Brother Bill has a singing group. And on Sundays, he comes up with a quartet and sings a special, as they say up in the mountains. My daddy, this is no joke. My daddy pull up in front of they used to call it filling station, and say, fill it up with Wrangler. Y'all know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody a little slow there. IQ must not be very high. But anyway, Brother Bill, bless his heart, he's a good man, loves the Lord, and like anybody, trying to do the best he can for his family and provide for his home. And old Brother Bill, he works overtime a few days trying to buy his family something nice for Christmas. And he comes home, boy, and he's got his coat over his shoulder and his tie's all crooked, and he's walking up the street like this, about 2 hours late from work. And Sister Suspicion is sitting on her front porch, drinking Coca-Colas and reading magazines. And the name of her magazine is True Secret. And it ain't true, and it sure ain't secret. And Modern Love, and Puke, and Dog. And she's been reading that stuff all day long, where she thinks everybody she sees is having an affair. She's sitting there rocking in her rocking chair. Old Brother Bill comes walking up the street, and she says, Oh, Lord, are you talking to me? Do you reckon? Oh, it's awful. Poor old Mary, what would she do? And she goes into the house. Dials on the phone, calls up Sister Exaggerator. And old Sister Long Lips Suspicion, she just like that lady got under conviction when the preacher preached on gossip. And she come down on and said, "Oh, preacher, I'm under conviction. Pray for me and get my tongue on the altar." He said, "Ma'am, we got about 40 feet of it here. Double it over and we'll let it flop on both ends." Oh, Sister Suspicion got on that phone. She said, "Sister, I got a burden. I got something I want you to help me pray about. I'm not trying to insinuate anything. The Lord knows my heart. But you know, Brother Bill's been coming home mighty late lately. And you know, I'm not saying anything going on. I'm not saying that at all. But he has been coming home late a lot. And you know the day we're living in, him and my little hussies run around down there, they wear their breeches so tight, they got a nickel in their back pocket, and you can tell if it's heads or tails. And you know, old Bill, I'm a little bit worried about Brother Bill." By the time Sister Exaggerator gets through with it and puts on the finishing touches, it's all over the congregation in that local community in the church that Bill is having an affair. Sunday morning, the pastor gets up. He's prayed all week. "God, do something. Oh, God, we need you Sunday. God, please, please, God, do something." He gets up Sunday morning. "Brother Bill, would you bring the quartet and come around and sing?" Brother Bill gets up. "It's good to be here." Every woman in this church just drops her head. Their arrows going toward him, that low-down hypocrite. How could he? Look at his dear wife sitting over there. Bless her heart. Have to live with that devil. He ought to be... The poor idiots don't even know what they're talking about. Any thoughts that come in your mind about that of somebody, you ought to have enough God-given sense to know it's a devil trying to put something in your head to mess up your church services. The devil don't want you to hear what comes from his pulpit. The devil don't want you to hear that he'll put anything in the world in your brain if you're stupid enough to listen to him. And whatever you're thinking about somebody else, you just as low down to that, wasn't the grace of God, you'd be doing worse. That's pretty plain preaching, but that's pretty sorry living too. And it takes plain preaching to get rid of sorry living. Boy, Brother Bill comes out to church that morning. "How are you today?" "Oh, how could you? Huh? What's going on here? And you can't get a blessing in your church for all the bad stuff you've heard about everybody else. And you ladies are the worst in the world because you just let it just eat at you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you. And I know men gossip too, but men don't gossip like women. You can say what you want to, they don't. You put 10 men in a room and listen into the window, and one man will be talking, the rest of them be listening. Then he'll say something, the rest of them will listen. Try me out. Put 10 women in a room. All of them be talking, none of them listening. That's the way it goes. Nothing personal. I love you. I won't have to worry about none of you flirting with me. Hallelujah. Woo! Be all right with me if you hate my guts. I got enough problems without you running around. I'll tell you something here this evening. That stuff's killing our churches. It's killing us. We can blame it on the abortion clinics. We can blame it on secular humanism. Brother, they can't hurt us! We'll get together in one mind, one accord, and worship God in spirit and truth. I'll tell you how ladies gossip. Just how they think. They're weird. They are weird. There's nothing weirder in the world than a female. Son, mate, you don't think they're weird? You ain't been around. You ain't preached very much. You don't know how to take them. You come in one day, oh, darling, I love you. You come in next day, bleh. Now, I ain't making fun of you, lady. I mean, God made you that way for a reason, because your husband's so hard. He's just like an old tree. And you balance him out. And God made you that way for a person. Nothing personal or anything, but here's the way you do. Whatever how you feel at the moment, that's what determines what you say and what you do. They're weird, man. They're weird. Unstable might be the word. So she acts a little funny. She might not be demon possessed. That's just the way they are. I'm gonna make some nice friends in this meeting. I know that. But here's what. All right, let me tell you. A lady comes walking in church. She comes in late. You other ladies stand around. You got your songbook. She comes in like this. Every woman within 40 feet of that lady will stare her up one side and down the other and see what she's got on. I can't understand that. That is dumb. And when you get home, all you ladies here, unless you're very unusual, you can tell your husband whatever woman within 20 feet radius of you had on tonight. So I've seen her. She never wears the same thing twice. And I saw that at Belk's, and I know how much it costs. And those shoes down, where did she get that money that way? It looks like she would buy her kids something instead of spending it all on her. Boy, her hair, boy, didn't she look floozy tonight? And that's the way they are. And if you laid $100 up here on this platform tonight and said, you can have that $100 if you'll tell me what kind of shirt McGee had on last night, I couldn't do it. I ain't got the slightest idea. I went out to eat with him. $1 million, I couldn't. I don't know. It might have been green. Might have been yellow. Who cares? But ladies ain't made it. They go like this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Now that's what she's saying, but that ain't what she's thinking. Here's what she's thinking. I wonder if that dress she's got on is new today. And if it is, I wonder just how much she had to pay. Big mouth. I honestly believe, and I'm talking about men too. Let me say, girls come in, the ladies say, one of them, I've seen them do it. They'll punch the other and say, she's so pretty. That is weird to me. Now, you women can understand that, can't you? You can. You'll sit there. You do it all the time. You punch each other and you say,
I think she's so pretty. She's got the prettiest hair. What would you think about us if we talked like that? Can't hear you. What if Brother McGahee come in and me and Brother Green are sitting over there and you seen me lean over and punch Brother Green and say, he's so cute. Gag, man! Wouldn't you think there's something bad wrong with me? Well, I don't think that he should, and I just didn't agree with some of those things he said. And I tell you one thing, did you hear about, I'm worried about our church. I'm telling you, did you hear this? Did you hear that? And about 99% of the time, you don't know what in the world you're even talking about. And if you just come and worship the Lord, and you know what God's called you to do? He's called you into the shut up ministry. If they laid down and opened their mouth, you could drive a car down their throat. Up in the mountain, you ever heard this old saying? Have you ever heard the old saying, I'll slap you in the face with a wet squirrel? Nobody? Two people. I bet I know where y'all from. You people are, your vocabulary is limited. If all you know is straight English, man, you're missing half of it. But that's what it looks like some of them happened to some of them. I'll give you another. You ever heard this old saying? Man says, he's crazy. He don't know where he's washing or hanging out. How many of you ever heard that? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, now we're getting down on your level there. Well, anyway, brother, their mouth needs to be under control. Now, let me say something to you men for a minute. Ladies, you can holler amen now. What kind of church you want? See, I'm a gentleman. I put ladies first. Yeah. It's about time us men need to shut up too, brother. You can destroy a man's preaching by poisoning everybody's mind about that man. You better shut up. You better shut up! You better hush! You say, well, I heard somebody said it right this morning. Just because it's true don't mean you ought to go around telling people. I'll tell you something, folks. And, you know, I don't know if how many, I don't even know if you got people gossip around here. I figure you probably do. I tell you what, you mess around with something dangerous running your mouth about God's people, God's men, God's church, God's work. You're courting a tombstone, buddy. God's killed people for stuff like that. I'd rather be a pimp at the judgment than face God as one of these people that went around causing trouble in God's. Let me say something to you folks tonight. Can I say something to you? Folks, God has put a burden on my heart. I ain't trying to sound pious. Like I ain't never had before for this church. Amen. This past week, Monday, I had a bunch of running around to do. I had to make radio tapes. I had to pay bills. I had to go this. We had some problems with some people that doesn't work on a church. I was trying to get that straightened out and trying to get the Wednesday night service ready. And all I could think about was this place right down here in Pensacola. And I took off to the wilderness. And I took my Bible and a couple of books and pen. And a jug of grapefruit juice. I got down Monday and I began to beg God. I'll do something down here. I said, God, I don't know what they need. But, I mean, it was like 100 pounds. Let me tell you something, friend. My big burden is for our church. But when something comes on me heavier than our own church that I pastor, God, He's wanting to do something. I don't know how many there are here tonight needs to get right with God. But I begin to pray for you. Amen. And I prayed Tuesday. And I stayed over all day long. And I begin to pray. And I beg God. And I beg God. And I beg God.
I said, God, I can't do nothing. I prayed for these other two brethren. I prayed for you guys before you got here. I said, Lord, give them guys something to say. If I ain't smart enough to get it, Lord, let them get it. If I ain't spiritual enough to get a hold of it, God, give it to them. Oh, God, please. I want to say something to you tonight. I don't usually say personal words to congregation. There's what we call hot spots in the world where a lot's going on for God, and you know some of them. When it comes to Bible, believing, preaching, teaching, putting out people that believe the book, and the center of controversy over the Bible versions of the body of Christ, the whole church in this world, you know where the center is? It's Pensacola, Florida. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? There's a whole world out there that is waiting to see what you folks are going to do down here. And it would just tickle the fire out of about 3/4 of them to find out you're all in trouble down here. You don't know what you're messing with, friend. You're touching the work of God on this earth. That scares the fire out of me. Hey, let me tell you folks something here tonight. Are you hearing me? All you people from North Carolina, stand up over there just a minute. All right, tell them to sit down. Do you honestly think they drove 600 miles to hear me? They hear me till they're sick of me. You know why they're here? It's because up around our place, when you mention Pensacola, the lights come on. They say, glory to God, I want to go, praise God. There's something draws people here. There's something they like. They like the atmosphere. They like the spirit. And woe be unto you if you mess that thing up and start a bunch of gossip and lies. You're in trouble. I hope God kills you. I'll tell you something here tonight. Let me say something to you folks. Us preachers up yonder in North Carolina have stuck our neck out and took a beating over you and tried to take up for this man of God. And brother, we stood for you. And don't you blow it. And don't you let the devil get in you. And don't you mess this thing up. God liable to kill you. You say, well, Brother Danny, you just don't know these people like I know them. Yeah, and that's your problem, too. You need to realize you're all human, and every one of you ought to be in hell if you get out what you deserve. Don't you dare. There's a church up in North Carolina. Matter of fact, the church I got saved in. I love it, and it breaks my heart. That church split about 3 weeks ago. People call me on the phone. Did you hear about? And people from both sides call me, calling each other the devil. And they said, well, one of the deacons of the church told me, you ain't going to believe this. This way told me. This is side the issue, but I'm just want to make tell you something here. He said, well, we voted 5-7 for the preacher not to do this, and he went ahead and done it. He wouldn't listen to us. I don't know what Bible they've been reading. But this one don't say nothing about no deacons telling the pastor what to do. You say, well, I want to tell them what to do. Well, you need to go start your own church, son. So I ain't come back to hear you. I'm going to give you a good dose while you're here. Don't take much, do you, does it? Buddy, let me make a point here, folks. I'm going to say this and I'm going to hush. I'm going to leave off the rest of the message. I'm telling you something here this evening. Brother, you know what happened up there in that church? This one group said this. This other group said that. This other group claimed this. This other group claimed that. And the pastor got up and resigned about 3 Sunday mornings ago, walked out the side door, and half the congregation got up and walked out behind him. And they called me and they said, well, that bunch couldn't be saved the way they're acting. And the other bunch said, we got rid of the trouble. And they both thought each other was wrong. And they both thought they were right. They were both Christians. They were both convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the other group was full of the devil. You say, well, what happens in a case like that? Shall I tell you? I talked to a young lady and she said, my sister, who's about 14 years old, she cried. My mom and daddy's a fussing and a fighting and can't get along. You got 13, 14 year old kids sitting out there, and they're the ones going to suffer. They're the ones going to pay. Boy, that makes me mad! That breaks my heart! There's a 14 year old girl. The whole world's out there after her. The devil's trying to ruin that girl's life, prostitute her body, get her on drugs, and she comes to church to try to do right. And the adults in the house of God can't even get along with each other. The kids is the one that'll suffer. If I was a man or a woman here tonight, and I was at odds with somebody, I'd want to swallow my pride for my kids' sake. You say, well, I may not agree with you, brother, but God bless you. We've got a work to do. Let's lock arm in arm, hang in there, and go on for God. We've got to. We've got to swallow our pride. Listen, folks, don't tell this church something personal here this evening. You've got everybody against you. Most churches got the world and the devil and the flesh against them. You got 90% of the church against you. You ain't got too many folks, comparative-wise, percentage-wise, that's for you. You better hang with this thing and love each other and look over each other's faults and pray and get the job done God's give you to do. And I got worried about these three hermits, and they lived in a cave, and they spent all day long just sitting there. And one day, a horse run by. 6 months later, one of them spoke up and said, that was a fine brown horse. 2 years later, the second one says, that horse wasn't brown, it was white. About 3 years went by, the other one jumped up and said, if there's going to be this constant bickering, I'm leaving. One time, listen, we got a bunch of lost people coming in here tomorrow night. They're going to hell. They're going to burn forever and ever. If the Lord don't save them, I sure would hate to be a church member so stuffed full of myself that I let the devil use me to hinder the Holy Ghost conviction and let them boys and girls go to hell. Boy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Kids will go to hell when mom and daddy ain't right with God. You know something? You heard about the church on fire, a little old bitty church here on got a building caught on fire, and it just so happened that the atheist town atheist, the church deacon, was running side by side with their bucket of water going to put the fire out. And the deacon looked over and joked at the atheist and said, first time I ever seen you run into church. And the atheist looked back at him and said, first time I ever seen the church on fire. If we wanted to come in here and get saved, me and you's going to have to get on fire. You, what kind of church you want anyway? You want one that's right, that loves God, that gets the job done? Or you just want one where, you know, if it don't go your way, it don't go no way? I want to tell you something this evening, I'm through. I ain't planned on preaching this long. If I made you mad, too bad. I'm telling you this evening, somebody better get something right here this evening. Hold what you got, brother. Strengthen the things that are remaining and ready to die. The devil's after you, folks. These men of God, Brother Ruck and Brother McKay, they ain't going to do what they're doing getting by with it. And of course, they know that, but you need to know that. The devil's after you. You better get something settled. Let's pray. Let's pray. You put up a sign over your ear that says, no dumping. Well, you don't know what I've heard about. Oh, just shut up. Let the work of God roll on. Church will run over you. Church is the most powerful thing on this earth. It'll flatten you out like a bulldozer. Go with it, brother. Go with it. Father, do something tonight. Lord, I don't know what I've said or what I've said to who, and Lord, I'm glad that I don't, because if I did know, I probably wouldn't have said this stuff. But, Lord, I believe you put it on my heart up there in the woods the other day, or over yonder in the building. And, Lord, I've tried to obey you tonight, and I pray the Holy Ghost would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
Well, let's just tarry a while. I'd like to have the musician play something for a while. We're not going to sing, but let's tarry a while and give these time to pray up here. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to come down and join them, join them. Like I said before, you want to do your own praying, do your own praying. If you want some help, raise a hand. We're not going to sing, we're just going to tarry a while.